on this edition of Compassion Radio.
Why not go and first learn some phrases beyond the tourist level, then have a vision for going to a particular area of Latin America, going through a couple of seasons of church life in those countries, and experience the dynamism of the church in Latin America.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio. Around the world, to your hometown, this is the daily radio journal that takes you to the places where God is moving His people and shaking the nations. Thanks for joining us today. In this broadcast, Norman and his guests complete a four-day whirlwind tour of every inhabited continent. You might call it Around the World in 80 Minutes. In this final sprint, we cover the massive world that's right outside our back door, the booming, changing, challenging, and rapidly Christianizing region we know as Latin America. What's unique about this time, these peoples, and the Latin Church? Well, you're about to find out. And who knows, if you follow today's advice, you might just find yourself experiencing it in an up-close and personal way. Here's Norm.
All right, it's exciting once again to welcome back now our good friend, Dr. Charles Farhadian, the chairman of the Religious Studies Department at Westmont College, my alma mater, I always am very proud to say, who has been taking us for the past 3 days on a kind of tour over the landscape of the world as we see it in terms of the work of God all around the world and the various continents of the world. And we've taken a look at Oceania, the islands of the Pacific. We've taken a look at Asia. We've taken a look at Africa. Today, we're going to be talking about Latin America. And I suppose that if we're talking continents, we'd be talking essentially about South America. Charlie, welcome back to Compassion Radio today. And as I reintroduce you, let me just say this. The World Cup, the premier event, takes place every 4 years in football as it's known around the world, not just here in America. And it's been focused on Brazil, that dynamic country in South America. And that reminds me that there has been an amazing amount of attention devoted to South America, and also reminds me that God is doing incredible things in building His church across South America. Charlie, talk to us just to get us started about some of the really fascinating trends that you see as God is building His church there in that amazing continent.
Well, thanks, Norman. Great to be with you again. Yes, if we watched the World Cup a while back in Rio de Janeiro, you could see the beautiful beaches of Rio, and they are beautiful. I've been there myself. I would also say that just a few blocks off of the beach, you started getting into some fairly impoverished areas, and Brazil itself is a massive country. You know, about 200 million people live in Brazil. High population, and actually, in terms of its own geography, just a massive country. There is a lot of poverty there. In the midst of all the beauty, there's a history of African slaves there and a lot of ethnic diversity. In terms of the church, I guess the most general thing I could say is that Protestantism in all its forms has been growing vigorously throughout the Latin American context, particularly in its Pentecostal and charismatic forms. I think maybe up to 30%, 28-30% of the population of Latin America would probably be Pentecostal and charismatic.
My goodness. That's incredible. Pentecostalism, we generally think about it in terms of it being a Protestant aspect of the Christian gospel and the Christian church worldwide. In Latin America, it certainly has taken root in the Roman Catholic Church as well, hasn't it?
That's right. There are huge numbers of charismatic Catholics throughout the continent, particularly in Brazil. They worship like many Pentecostals and charismatics do around the world. You might be surprised if you go on the internet and you can look at some of the worship services. They run radio stations and they have a very good website. So you think of Latin America as a place that's mixed up a lot of categories that I think many of us in North America might easily separate. We might not think of Catholics being charismatic, for instance, but there's a movement well over 100 million Union.
Charlie, you mentioned this incredible slum that is almost adjacent to Copacabana Beach there in Rio, and we were very much aware of it during the World Cup held recently there in Brazil. Is it possible to generalize in this way and to say that on a worldwide basis, Christianity has become, and perhaps is today, essentially a religion, a faith of those who are the poor of the world, the disenfranchised of the world? Is that a fair comment?
I think in general, it seems to be that the growth of Christianity around the world, and even in major Christianized area like Latin America, is among the poor. And some churches have called Christianity in Latin America, particularly South America, a religion of the poor. We could say a lot about that, but one thing that's very important for us to realize is that the poor are in a very different place than other people, particularly in North America, having to feed their children, not knowing where their food's going to come from, healthcare issues, education issues. And it's out of that poverty they're asking questions that most of us in North America don't ask about: how will I get my next food? What is the makeup of the church that creates a new community that serves one another?
Charlie, you know, it's amazing to me that we would even find this a difficult issue to deal with, because in the Scripture, in the New Testament, is it not true that if we can say anything at all about Jesus, I mean, even if we're not partial to Christ, we are on Compassion Radio, of course, and you are too, but can we not say that Jesus' ministry was aimed at the poor? It was aimed at the needy. It was the poor and the needy who received him gladly. There's a statement in Scripture very much to that point. Why should we be surprised if the poor in Latin America or in Africa or anywhere else are drawn to this amazing, wonderful, loving, kind, compassionate, healing force in the world, Jesus Christ?
That's right. And the poor are, you're exactly right, through Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, God is the God of the poor. The Catholics, after the Second Vatican Council, talked about a preferential treatment of the poor, that God prefers the poor. Well, you can also see in passages in Scripture where God addresses the rich as well, and we know about those passages. It's harder to go through the eye of a needle than the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Not impossible, but the poor as a category in Scripture really are those who are dependent on God and who are often victims of society or culture or those in power. So the church in Latin America is very much made up of poor. You think of Latin America, especially South America, you have all these populations up in the mountains of the Andes, and it is a beautiful place. One of my favorite countries of South America is Bolivia. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous place up in the mountains in La Paz. You also have the jungles, right? And you have the Amazon, and you have the southern tip in Argentina and Chile and other places that are influenced by European culture a little bit more than other places. So it's a very diverse place. And a lot of the poor coming together and saying, how do we understand God in our own context? That of this context, by the way, that this term liberation theology emerged, and it was a kind of perspective that said, hey, can we understand ourselves as God understands ourselves? In our context, God desires us to be liberated from various forms of oppression.
Yeah. Charlie, what about the country just to our south? Now it's part of North America, Mexico. Are we seeing the kind of church growth and rise of spiritual vitality in Mexico that we're seeing, let's say, in Central America and certainly in South America?
It's a good question. I'm living in California, and there are many churches in particularly the southern part of California and probably the southern part of the United States that send short-term missions, you know, youth group missionaries to northern Mexico. And so there are these massive cities that have developed just outside of Tijuana, and they receive hundreds and thousands of students from the United States. And for many students in the United States, that's their first understanding of the church outside the United States. So I think the church is growing. And again, in Mexico, you still, like the rest of Latin America, there's a very strong Pentecostal movement. Also, another feature is, speaking very generally and broadly here, is the prejudice that a lot of the indigenous people feel vis-a-vis the more powerful elite who are often, you know, have ancestries back to Spain. So there's prejudice even within each country, and Mexico feels that as well. There are churches I know that support education work in Mexico because they believe it's important as Christians to support Christian children in Mexico all the way through college. So that's a great opportunity for ministry.
You know, Charlie, I can remember a wonderful experience that Cher and I had in Peru, and in particular, spending time in a place on the beach. It was actually a city that was built on the sands of a beach. People had come down out of the Andes Mountains, very, very poor people, with the promise that they could have a piece of land. It was possible for these people to have a portion, can you imagine this, of sand. But it was their property. We spent time there ministering with people, in particular children, young people, and it was one of the most touching and wonderful experiences I think that Cher and I have ever had together in this place of shifting sands, a desire for a place in this world, for a sense of ownership, and yet the rather strange and I think almost cynical fact of it was that the land that they had was actually shifting sand. It was a wonderful experience, but on the other hand, it was something that just tore my heart out because I saw the desire for people to have a piece of land of their own, something to call their own. These very, very poor people, here they were being given something that really had no permanence to it. Once again, I think they were being taken advantage of.
I think issues of land have been very significant throughout Latin America, particularly in South America. Who owns the land? This is a universal issue that all countries have to grapple with. Again, it's out of that context that liberation theology in part emerged, that is, where poor people felt victimized in their own context. And the other thing I would want to bring up, as Christianity has grown in Latin America, one thing to keep an eye on is as Christian, and particularly evangelical, politicians get more powerful or in their positions of power, how will they understand their leadership as Christians? And so we're seeing that in Central America and in parts of South America, despite some of the socialist presidents that have been elected the last several years.
Charlie, let me ask you about something else. I remember a number of years ago talking about something known to missiologists as people movements. And it turned out that up in the Andes Mountains, and I know this is a very favorite area of yours, beginning with the Andes Range in the country of Colombia and then reaching down into places like Ecuador and so forth, people discovered that the Indian populations up in those mountains had come to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were evangelizing each other across national boundaries. And at one point, there was it was rather funny, the missionaries, who one would assume would have known all about this, had to admit that they didn't know anything about it, that the gospel was spreading among the Indian populations there, Colombia and Ecuador and Peru and so forth, going across national borders without their knowing it. It was happening strictly among the Indian people. That, to me, was a very, very, I think, powerful indication of how the Spirit of God so often works in ways that confound our missionary politics, if that's a good way to put it. I'm not sure it is, but I think you know what I'm talking about here.
That's right. And whether you call them unintended consequences or the movement of God, I believe it's the movement of the Holy Spirit, this is also something that we could say that has been happening around the world, at least in the history of mission, which is that when local people understand the gospel and the power of the gospel in a very relevant way in their own context, oftentimes there are these people movements where people talk to each other and people come to Christ in groups, you know, the mass movements, and it spreads. And I would say for those who are interested in either being lay researchers or students who want to go on to whether it's college or grad school, there's a history there that has never been told. And I would say it's really worldwide, which is the history of mission from those people groups instead of just from the perspective of the European or American missionaries who did a lot and did communicate, but oftentimes the real growth of the church happened with the kind of movement that you're talking about up in the Andes, in Ecuador, Venezuela, etc. Local people taking the gospel. These are like the barefoot missionaries, right?
And they,
some of them
pay
the ultimate price.
Compassion Radio is active in countries all around the world. Here's how we're making a difference in the world this month.
Those of you who are longtime listeners know that for many, many years we've had an annual project of raising money for Bibles for China.
And we've always done it over Christmas, and we are doing the project again this year, but now we're doing it for Christmas. The pastor shepherd of thousands of house churches to whom our Bibles are going to go has asked if we could get the Bibles to him in time this year to give to people at Christmas. We know that for every Bible we place, there will be four or five people come to know Christ just through the placement of one Bible. We know that there are 20,000 to 30,000 new Christians in China every day. Now, can you help us to get the Bibles to China for Christmas this year? Also, as you've heard us tell you, there are well over 100,000 Chinese missionaries that are moving out across the ancient Silk Road trade routes to take back all of that Islamic territory for Jesus Christ. They understand that this Back to Jerusalem movement could help stop extremist Muslim terrorism right in its tracks. Now, as an added incentive to send your money for Bibles for China this year, we want to provide you, at your request, for your gift of $25 or more, a very inspiring book that Norm has chosen for you specifically called The Grave Robber, or How Jesus Can Make Your Impossible Possible. It's written by Mark Batterson, who's a New York Times bestselling author. This is a 275-page paperback book, and it reveals the incredible power of the seven miraculous signs of Jesus that are found in the Gospel of John. These are not only things Jesus did in the past, but also something he wants to do now in the present. Mark shares true stories of people who are witnessing the countless miracles, big and small, that we take for granted every day. These miracles point us toward the one who healed the sick, calmed the storm, and even raised the dead. And if you long to see God work in miraculous ways today, you will love this faith-building, life-giving message. This is recommended by Pastor Rick Warren and by Roma Downey and Mark Burnett. So make this your first Christmas project this year. Give for Bibles for China, and then request for your gift of $25 or more this wonderful book called The Grave Robber.
Will you join us? 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're on the internet at CompassionRadio.com. And now, back to the program.
Local people taking the gospel. These are like the barefoot missionaries, right?
And they,
some of them pay the ultimate price.
As a matter of fact, that the mission organizations down in the capital cities, down in the lowlands, were pretty excited about this when they discovered it, that the Indians in the highlands were evangelizing each other without the need for mission boards and American and European input. It was simply happening by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty exciting thing when it happens. And it has been something that has characterized the movement of God in Latin America. It's not unusual at all.
That's right. And I would add another feature to that. I mean, you're talking about fairly small-scale people group kind of evangelism, but I would also note that in an era of globalization where a lot of churches are using modern technology, now there are radio stations, of course there's the World Wide Web, and also there are television stations that are owned by different denominations. I'm thinking of, again, of a context in Brazil, the Universal Church of the Kingdom of God. It's a kind of a lengthy title for a church name, but it's Pentecostal, and I looked it up the other day because I've been doing some research on it for an article. And outside the greater Rio de Janeiro area, they say there are about 60% of the churches are Pentecostal. Actually, that might be a low number, but this Universal Church of the Kingdom of God, founded in 1977, has more than 12 million members, and 8 million are in Brazil.
Oh, my goodness.
But they've got a mission outreach to New York City, to places throughout Europe. So when we think about mass movements, we should also remember in the context of globalization, with the use of modern technology, there are these massive churches that are also sharing the gospel. In this case, unfortunately, it's more of a prosperity gospel, but they're using technology to share the gospel across state boundaries and going worldwide.
You know, that's fascinating. I'm just wondering, Charlie, as we bring this segment to a close, could you speak to the wonderful opportunities that exist for young people here in the U.S. to go across the border into Latin America and specifically into Mexico, maybe in some cases also down into Central America? Doesn't take that much longer to get down there into Belize or Guatemala or Honduras. Nicaragua, and so forth. There are wonderful opportunities for service that are available in a rather short period of time with not a great deal of money expected or needed to become involved. Latin America is really a wonderful training ground, isn't it, for cross-cultural ministry and for instilling in the minds and hearts of our young people a sense of the gospel as something that God intends for the world, not just for America. Thank God that He intends it for America, but even more than that, that He intends for places across the border and all around the world. And Latin America has been a wonderful place for young people to get that experience.
And I would add that any language in the world today, Spanish is probably the most popular in the United States in terms of our educational system, or even online. And there are a lot of communities, of course, in the United States that have sizable Spanish-speaking populations. So why not go and first learn some phrases beyond the tourist level, and then have a vision for going to a particular area of Latin America and going through a couple of seasons of church life in those countries and experience the dynamism of the church in Latin America. I've said this about every continent, and anybody who's traveled knows this as well as I do, if not more, and that is Latin America is extremely diverse in every way, flora, fauna, people groups, and even the church. And we have a great opportunity to have fellowship across those geographic boundaries. And also, like you said, or at least implied, Latin America is generally closer than most places in the world. And so we might be able to have even stronger connections visiting back and forth.
Charlie Farhadi, and it's been wonderful to have you as our guest on Compassion Radio. You've been a wonderful guide to the work of God around the world. We've touched a number of the continents of the world, and I think that going from this series, brief though it has been, and sometimes we've gone a little bit lightly over vast areas and complicated regions and all of that, we at least have a better sense of the God who cares about the entire world and the beauty and the magnificence of the church worldwide, and the fact that God is building His church everywhere. It's meant for the world. We just give you our thanks, Charlie, for being willing to be our guide on this tour. It's been wonderful to have you with us. Once again, Dr. Charles Farhadian, Chairman of the Religious Studies Department at Westmont College, thanks so much for being with us for these 4 days as we've toured the world and come to appreciate the Church of Jesus Christ in its worldwide context. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Norm. I appreciate the time.
Those of you who are longtime listeners know that for many, many years we've had an annual project of raising money for Bibles for China. And we've always done it over Christmas, and we are doing the project again this year, but now we're doing it for Christmas. The pastor shepherd of thousands of house churches to whom our Bibles are going to go has asked if we could get the Bibles to him in time this year to give to people at Christmas. We know that for every Bible we place, there will be 4 or 5 people come to know Christ just through the placement of one Bible. We know that there are 20,000 to 30,000 new Christians in China every day. Now, can you help us to get the Bibles to China for Christmas this year? Also, as you've heard us tell you, there are well over 100,000 Chinese missionaries that are moving out across the ancient Silk Road trade routes to take back all of that Islamic territory for Jesus Christ. They understand that this Back to Jerusalem movement could help stop extremist Muslim terrorism right in its tracks. Now, as an added incentive to send your money for Bibles for China this year, we want to provide you, at your request, for your gift of $25 or more, a very inspiring book that Norm has chosen for you specifically called The Grave Robber, or How Jesus Can Make Your Impossible Possible. It's written by Mark Batterson, who's a New York Times bestselling author. This is a 275-page paperback book, and it reveals the incredible power of the 7 miraculous signs of Jesus that are found in the Gospel of John. These are not only things Jesus did in the past, but also something He wants to do now in the present. Mark shares true stories of people who are witnessing the countless miracles, big and small, that we take for granted every day. These miracles point us toward the one who healed the sick, calmed the storm, and even raised the dead. And if you long to see God work in miraculous ways today, you will love this faith-building, life-giving message. This is recommended by Pastor Rick Warren and by Roma Downey and Mark Burnett. So make this your first Christmas project this year. Give for Bibles for China and then request for your gift of $25 or more this wonderful book called The Grave Robber.
This is perhaps the most exciting time that we've ever experienced in the history of Compassion Radio. However, the enemy does not approve of an activist radio ministry gaining greater access and influence in territory that he regards as his own. So, he's hitting us in the pocketbook. Contributions to Compassion Radio dropped off to the point where we are presently receiving only one half of what we need to continue broadcasting on this your station. Friend, if you value the work that Compassion Radio is doing around the world, please respond today.
Just give us a call, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. You can also give through our secure website, CompassionRadio.com. And be sure to ask about this month's special offer when you contact us today. You'll also find plenty of interesting information in our Facebook community. That's Facebook.com/Compassion Radio. I'm Bram Floria. Join us again for the next Compassion Radio.